December 22, 2020, it's a Watch for Pedro show. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south here because we're still quit in quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone, people, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Tobias Nathaniel. Hey, Toby, how you doing?
Doing as good as can be, Mike. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor.
Right. And where are you talking from? San Diego?
I am in Belgrade, Serbia.
Whoa. Okay. Then why was I thinking fucking San Diego? Okay.
I'm originally from there, but I've been living here.
You know
I've
what?
Been living here for 5 years or so.
Jovi.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. That's the connect. See, that's a good thing about Alzheimer's. It's fucked up disease and everything, but the one benefit is you always meet new people, hear new songs. And Jovi's an old buddy, and I know, that's a connect.
That's great. He's super sweet, awesome dude. And one of the songs I selected is kind of in his honor. It's his favorite song to play live at Blackheart, so had to put it on.
Good skateboarder, too. And he actually put together a record me and Nels Klein played on called The West Coast something or other. And so he organized that, and that's great, too. Okay, so Belgrade. I've gotten to play there a few times with Stooges and with Missing Men, and I had a good time. Last time, it was called the Gun Club, and it was like where they shot guns, right? Target practice.
Exactly. I don't think so anymore, but I've also played there a couple times.
And because behind the stage you could see where all the bullets, because they put the targets right. And you know who came to the gig, which was a mind blowing. I got to spend hours with him, was a brother Koya from Disciplina Kichma, and he goes way back in their scene, you know, with Charlo Acrobato and this kind of thing. He's just a big hero to me. He's never had a guitar in his band because he plays like Jimmy, you know. With the wow wow, and it's just great. And he's healing up. He's with his sister in London. You know, he had a stroke and stuff. Lost his wife. So some really bad luck, but he's come along. I got a project with the guy in Skopje. And his buddy, actually the harp guy that was in the latest version of Disciplina Kichma, called Koya Brothers, because it's in his honor. And Pizzo, my organ man for the second man. So that's interesting. But can we go way back with your journey in music? Like, can you tell us, Toby, your earliest musical recollection?
Earliest recollection. Well, there are a couple stories, but they're kind of happened around the same time, so I'll pick the one that's more fun. So my earliest recollection would be my disappointment in Kiss. And
the band
Kiss, yeah. So I must have been, I don't know, this was probably 80, so I was around like six years old. And my aunt at her house had a vinyl copy of Love Gun. And I'm sure you're familiar with the design and the art, right?
Yeah. A lot of art.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, staring at this thing and wondering, like, who the hell are these guys? And what is this, you know, heavily misogynistic scene all about? And my parents wouldn't let me listen to it because I guess I was too young, in their opinion. So the suspense grew even further. And I just remember looking at that thing going, like, what's the story behind this? These demonic figures, they're so evil. Like, it's got to be brutal, this the music, you know? So I guess, like, eight years old must be the magic age for Kiss listening, because that's about when they let me finally hear it. And in the meantime, I'm imagining this thing like Miss Sugar or something. Onslaught heavy, you know, thing. And finally, I hear it, and I was like, what the fuck is this, like, weak sauce commercial horseshit?
It reminds me of the time when I took a 10-speed and rode up to Hollywood. It took me like 8 hours. I was 15, 14 years old. And it was like, this is Hollywood? It was the same kind of feeling, right?
Exactly. And I guess the good thing is it taught me a lesson to just sort of prepare for disappointment. And not only that, but the sort of like this disconnect between, you know, design, artwork, and the music itself, I've always found it kind of amusing.
Yeah. So in the pad you grew up, was there instruments?
At our place, no. However, my grandfather had one of those Kahn organs, electric organs.
Yeah.
You know, with the rhythm section with the samba and bossa nova and all that. So I would go over there and kind of goof around on that thing. He would play some weird stuff. And later, eventually, I'm left-handed. My parents bought me a left-handed ukulele. And
God, I didn't know. I just thought you strung them. Because they got kind of fishing line strings, right?
No, you're right. Maybe it was just strung differently. That's possible. Absolutely.
Well, the pick guard, some of them do have pick guards. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Actually, I was. In high school, I was fortunate enough to have attended a high school that at the time they were like right in the middle of cutting like art and music curriculums out. So that would have been like 89, 90. And
Why I ask about that stuff, because I guess it's like frivolous.
Mm-hmm. So actually it was valuable. They had a really great jazz program, and actually I went to Mission Bay High where Frank Zappa went. So they had kind of a cool little musical history thing there. And I actually, in order to play in that band, you had to take lessons, not only for whatever instrument you were playing. And for me at the time, it was guitar. So I took lessons and also theory from the same guy. So I learned, jazz theory and, technical guitar there.
1-2-5 and also jazz, right? 1-2-5 rock and roll 1-4-5, but 1-2-5. Yeah.
Exactly. And I happened to meet a buddy of mine, Jose Palafox, who was the drummer of Struggle, my first kind of official band.
Yeah, I played some yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you gave me two tunes and you said, replace one with another one. So I played it yesterday so people could get a listen of you ahead of time. Your appearance. You know what? I forgot to say what we started the show out. John Coltrane doing All or Nothing at All. And then Black Heart Procession with Stitch to My Heart. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Well, does it need to be vinyl?
No. The medium doesn't matter. When you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm always curious about what you would spend it on, right?
Yeah. So, okay. In that case, it was Judas Priest, Sin After Sin, and that was on cassette.
Sin After Sin. Is that the one with the Ripper?
It's, I remember Diamonds and Rust, the Joan Baez cover.
Oh, yeah, no, it's later. The one I'm thinking of had this song called The Ripper, Sad Wings of Destiny or some shit.
Right.
It's called. And I saw, they played the fucking Whiskey.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you. And the opening act was Gary Valentine, right? He was in the Stiletto, kind of power pop. It was the most trippy match, or mismatch. And man, Rob Halford, he could barely stand up, but man, his voice was incredible. A powerhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking, whoa. And the whole band was intense. But I remember later on, they also, I think they did a Fleetwood Mac cover.
Right.
Green
Do you remember the name?
Or something. What was the first gig you went and saw?
That would have been, actually, this is strange. I don't know why. I'm a weirdo. But I never felt like concerts or gigs or shows or whatever were for me. I thought they were for other people. I had some weird hang up. So it wasn't until later that I went to a show. And that was, that would have been in around 90. And that was Slayer with Testament opening at Spreckles Theater.
Well, that's an intense first gig.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I was up on like the balcony. And I remember the audience was a bit like weird about Testament. They were kind of like, they weren't necessarily booing, but I don't know. They were there for Slayer for sure. And basically Slayer finally started, and I had a bird's eye view of the audience there, and the entire floor, I think there was like a couple thousand people down there. It was just a maelstrom, like spinning storm. Like looking at it from the top, and there's just like a hole in the center with one dude in the center of this storm, just like, what the fuck's going on?
I witnessed the same thing at the Palladium Slayer, and the whole fucking, you know, it's a round pad kind of, or oval, and it turned into one, like, big spin cycle washing machine fucking thing, with all these dudes just punching the shit out of each other, running around in this big tornado cyclone. You know, I want to play, you got a French thing here. Voiture en rouge.
right off you. Breeze could burn a hole right through you. Sweat was pouring out of my skin, but it was cool, cause she was about to give in. In my dreams, down in Darlin', New Orleans, yeah. I seen her sitting up in Jackson Square. She was running her fingers through her long blonde hair. Hot and it did right off you. The breeze could burn a hole right through you. The sweat was pouring out of my skin, but it was cool, cause she was about to give in. Yeah, in my dreams, down in New Orleans, New Orleans. I seen her walking down to Tater Street, and I said, hey, baby. I said, hey, baby, you're the woman I've been waiting a lifetime. You're the woman I've been waiting a lifetime to meet. And she said, she looked me in the eye. I can't believe you use that tired old line. Up and down here, you've been using it all the time. I know the one, it starts with a toothy grin. You think you're getting in, we both know that's just a lie. You're just barely getting by. Thank you.
turned yellow.
I'm gonna get it out of here.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Now, this was Black Heart Procession with Soul Bakken. It was a collab, right?
Yeah. It was part of the In the Fish Tank series that the Dutch distributor Concurrent puts out.
Okay. And that was Voiture and Rouge. Then we had Argo from Barcelona with a demo of Diesel. They said, play it, because it's going to change, but play it. You know, why not? Let the demo flag, freak flag fly. And then Numbers Band out of Akron with Getting By. This is a big influential band in the 70s. I think the sax man is the Pretender singer's brother. And so and she was in a band with the Devo singer. So, man. I have a connect with some of that Cleveland Akron camp kind of trip. And pioneers with the movement. Baby Gherkin after that. Dinner with Trees, with the Trees. This is, I've never done this, but like, yeah, you get somebody younger and you do a collab and it's their first time. Could be life changing. Baby Gherkin. Bowman's Prendon after that. And this is the connection to Doppler Shift, DC area. Kim Cooper Complex with We Saw Waves. Birds of Paradise. These are some cats in Montreal. Money Trees. And finally, Black Heart Procession with GPS. That's got a good groove. Okay, so let's go back to like school days, like after school. Since you learned some guitar, do you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band with some buddies?
Let's see. Primarily at first, I just sort of practiced on my own. I got like, so after I got into this, I got into thrash metal. Like I heard Master of Puppets on vinyl and it just kicked my ass. And I was like, that's possible. Instantly, I knew I had to play guitar. And so I did a lot of practicing on my own. We did get together with some friends, but it wasn't until like high school days with Struggle that we started doing the kind of hardcore crossover metal stuff.
Now, Struggle, was it a whole band or was it your one buddy? You were talking about that drummer man, right?
So the story with that band is all of those guys we all went to the same school, high school, and they were a band before I joined, and their guitarist, Cliff, was leaving to go to Berkeley or something, and so they needed a replacement guitar player, so since we all knew each other, I joined up, and we wrote some songs, did some little bit of touring, and eventually recorded a new album. And incidentally, that band has Justin Pearson on bass, who's now with Dead Cross.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Dead Cross has got some of the Locust guys?
Dead Cross has got Dave Lombardo on drums.
That's right. Dave Lombardo from Slayer.
Yeah. And it's funny for me because, like, Justin was
incredible.
Always giving me
shit. I got to say, Dave Lombardo, one of the most incredible drummers. And he plays so relaxed. I watched the man get right off after a set and hardly even breathing hard. He's got really a good technique.
Totally. And when you play, you know, especially thrash or technically, you know, challenging music, you got to really refine, I suppose, your, you know, you got to get everything super efficient and economy to make it. I mean, can you imagine playing, you know, two, three hours of that stuff?
Yeah, I know. Beat the shit out of you, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you say Struggle was a band before you joined. What was your first gig with Struggle like?
I think we played, it was great. I mean, all, you know, hardcore, high energy. I think we played, if I remember the first show was probably at Che Cafe there at UCSD campus. Have you ever been there?
Astaire.
Yeah, there. And it was just,
well, there's two schools. There's one in La Jolla.
La Jolla it is. It's that one, yeah.
And that's the UC one. And then the Cal State one is, yeah, that's the Aztecs.
SDSU.
Yeah, one of them is a Cal State SD, and one of them is UCSD. You know, the same system as Berkeley.
Right.
And then there's the other one that's the same system as, like, Long Beach State or Fresno State. Yeah, in the old days, there used to be a lot of gigs at those schools.
Yeah, I mean, Che Cafe for me was, like, super important. That's, you know, before the punk rock house times, that was where we all gathered, had shows, you know, the full, the complete deal with...
San Diego had a problem with all ages, right?
Why?
Look, I'm doing the radio show right now. I'll call you right back. With all age, because, you know, the club to play in those days, Tim Mays, right, the Spirit.
Oh.
I think it became Brick by Brick later or something.
Casbah,
Tim, not Tim's Tim's Casbah, right. There was two Casbahs, but before that, there was Spirit, and I think there was a 21 age limit.
Yeah, there's always, that kind of created a little bit of a divide in the scene there. So there were the bands that were, you know, over 21 and were able to play there, and that scene, and then, you know... I guess you eventually graduate to playing there, but we did the Che Cafe was our, you know, our
sure,
joint.
Sure.
And
I'm curious. Not always the first gig goes great though, so that's why I ask.
I think it was just, you know, with hardcore, it's just about the energy.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
I think there was some damage. I think there were some injuries, so I guess all went well.
And the material, they were writing their own stuff, right? So you had to learn their songs.
Yeah, so there was some existing stuff, and then we wrote together, you know, a bunch more stuff, and eventually they had an EP out, and then we wrote enough material to do an LP together.
Is this your first time writing songs?
Yeah, at least in terms of something that would get released, for sure.
Well, you said you were practicing on your own, learning guitar. Was that a lot of, like, learning off records and stuff?
Yeah, just practicing technique, and of course I'd goof around and try to.
Yeah, because the old days, we didn't know one dude in Pedro that wrote his own songs. The 70s was way different, but I've noticed more and more recent dudes start writing right when they start learning. I think that's great.
I think it's awesome. It's super important.
Yeah. Why is the best guy in town the guy who can play Black Dog the best? You know, because music can be like. A means to express yourself. It's not just like building models of other people's hot rods.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's multidimensional too. And then plus the idea of interpretation. So you have, you know, jazz or even classical, like, which is a much tighter dynamic.
Well, you know, it's trippy about that, Toby. As it's gone on with me, I'm kind of hating genres. And to me, music is music.
I'm so on your team with that. Like, you have no idea. I just don't understand. It's about, like, I don't know. There's you can be genuine and have taste. And the thing with emo, I don't know. You remember there's a period in time.
I thought emo was like, rite of spring.
Yeah, exactly. And even Unwound, there was a period of time.
Sure. Up on the Olympia or something.
Exactly. And then now it's some.
I think we just lost the bass man. Is that right?
Yes, unfortunately, Vern.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. But yeah, but see what that's all that labeling stuff. And, I don't know.
No, yeah.
I didn't mean to bring it up. But when you said jazz and stuff like that, you know, it's all music, and yeah, you know, it does go into different directions, but there's also a lot of melting together and falling apart and reconstructing and deconstructing.
Absolutely, yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour, December 22, 2020, edition Watt Pedro Show. A special guest, Tobias Nathaniel. Hold tight for hour two. December 22, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
play a show at the Royal Oaks. The place was packed, looked like it was gonna be a real good night. I was warming up the audience, telling stream of consciousness knock-knock jokes. Then a fella walked in, he was carrying a big old duffel bag. His manner and his mood were hard to gauge. He pulled a big old tuba out of the bag, held it up over his head and said, I'm gonna use this horn to blow Sam Bennett off the stage. I'm gonna blow that Sam Bennett right off the stage. Somebody stood up and said, hey now buddy, this ain't your show. We paid to see Sam Bennett. You can take your tuba and go. Tuba man said, no way, I ain't going nowhere. So why don't you just sit right back down in your chair. You just sit yourself right back down in your chair. The mood in the room was tense. Nobody knew what to do. So I grabbed the mic, said I got an announcement to make. We have a special guest this evening, I said, he's here to blow his horn. So let's give him a Youngstown welcome, for goodness sake. Friendly Youngstown welcome, for goodness sake. So he stepped up onto the stage, loosened his bolo tie. He said, I carved this tuba from a single piece of wood. He put the big old horn to his lips and played an old Burt Bacharach song. And I must admit, it sounded pretty good. I have to admit, the fella sounded pretty damn good. Well, the night went on like that. He must have played about 100 tunes. Smooth jazz, progressive metal, and afro pop. Sat there all night listening to the man who'd stolen my gig. The audience wouldn't let him leave the stage, they wouldn't let him stop. No, the folks at the Royal Oaks, they would not let him stop. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, people, I should be lying if I said it didn't hurt my pride. It ain't easy to swallow that kind of musical slapdown. But I'm gonna call myself a tuba, learn about 1,000 songs, go back next year, play it for the people in Youngstown. I play it for the folks at the Royal Oaks over in Youngstown. I'm gonna play it for the folks at the Royal Oaks. Youngstown, Ohio, at the Royal Oaks.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show, starting off the second hour with Three Mile Pilot. We got to get to that, right? Ruin. And then Sam Bennett after that at the Royal Oaks. His Name Is Alive, brand new. In the Great Night. Waku Waku Kingdom, Third Eye. The Subject with Roses from Jerome Parker Wells out of St. Louis. And For the Damage Complete, it's the Frankenstein Mash. Blonde Redhead. The two brothers from Italy. I'm in a band with two Italian guys. It's called Suona di Mino. Yeah. Sometimes, 7-4, 9-4, 11-4. Yeah. It's a little difficult for Watt. I could do 6 and 3s. Of course, 4s and 2s. I remember having to do a Balkan thing for a benefit, and it was in 5.
Yeah,
but it's kind of oompa, but it's in 5. It's you know, because of the Turkish and Vienna, Austria kind of coming together in a creative, artistic way. It's really trippy, that Balkan music, man. For me, it's really interesting. But, you know, these guys, it's not in their mind. They grow up and they feel it. They're not, you know, it's not this math rock in their mind, right? They feel these kind of timings. Man, but
yeah,
if you're not raised with it, it's difficult. So what happens after Struggle?
After Struggle, let's see, that kind of, right after that period, I started my sort of punk rock house days. And this was there was a song I was trying to get for the show that I wanted it so bad because it kind of just really represented that period for me. But it didn't turn out. So after that, I moved into a house, the Winder Street house. And we started, actually with my friend Josh, who was in a day called Zero. We started another band called Young Destroyers. And that was, I guess you can copy paste. It was punk house. We had a basement. Everyone playing different stuff. We had a drum set and an organ and piano down there. So, you know, time to check out some new instruments,
broaden the
thing. And just having bands over. We had a ton of bands, you know, but you know, back then that was the network.
Sure.
The punk rock houses were the hubs. And
it happened here in Pedro. I didn't even know what was going on. The whole Recess Records, Todd Conchalier and Toys That Kill, 5-year plan. Yeah, they do these whole tours and not play one club. Be all pads, living rooms.
Yeah, those are the best. Those are the best shows.
Yeah, I loved it. Days. It was totally grassroots and not run by any fucking, you know, Svengali guys. You know, it's all the people doing it. We're running it. I was very impressed by it. I in fact got my Missing Man drummer out of that scene, Raul Morales. He was playing with these guys called the Leeches, with trash sacks over their heads and shit. But I just thought, man. Here I was torn so much I didn't know this was going on in my own town. Because, you know, when Minutemen, we were the only punk rockers. There was like 5 of us. You know, there wasn't that many in the town. And so this whole scene grew. And in fact, people were moving to Pedro from Orange County and shit. Kid Kevin. I was really impressed. And I know it happened all over the country. And then this was a kind of incubator too, like you said. You got to get on a drum set, on an organ, a keyboard.
Yeah, definitely. And then just the whole DIY aspect, like, you know, people making zines and just sharing with people from other cities. And yeah, it was a great time. And I don't know, for those who haven't experienced it, you know, it was a really great thing, a way to connect that we've kind of, I don't know, lost.
Or maybe it's postponed, on hold, you know, or there'll be different ways to do it, you know. That's one thing. Things are dynamic, right? They change, and you get dealt a hand, and you have to play it the best you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some generations, you grew up right into a war, right? The 90s where you're living now. So even though it's lame sitch, I mean, I want to stay a little optimistic, but you're right about that connecting. Because you know what, Toby, a lot of the values you have now come from those experiences, I believe.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I want to play
something from Struggle, War Number One. What a title.
President Bush claims that the U.S. government is concerned about the well-being of the Iraqi people.
Doing everything possible, believe me, to avoid hurting the innocent.
But thanks to U.S. actions, Iraq's children under five are now dying at three times the rate they did a year ago. In Amara alone, 1,200 more children under five die each month as a result of the war and sanctions.
Thank you.
I think it'd be so. Wow, for Pedro Show, that was War Number One from Struggle. And Paul Jacobs with Thanks. That's great. This comp came out of Montreal from bands up there. A benefit thing, too, for the scene. Eom after that, Flavor of the Week. And there's a U in there, so maybe England. Don't know for sure. Itch.io after that, Orange Dev. Maybe short for a device. Don't know. Joy Cut, Individual Routine. And finally, Morning Song, and that's with a U. But they do that over here, too. Day Call Zero. Right? We're kind of in that period.
For yes, you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, evolution-wise, music journey-wise, where to next, Joby?
Yeah, so, let's see, during that time, that's, again, I mentioned there was a little bit of a sort of like separate scenes from like the little bit older generation who were kind of playing the Casbah and that stuff, and more of us who were kind of a little more playing the Che Cafe, all ages places, and our basements. And but there was overlap for sure, and that's how I met Paul Jenkins, who's a singer guitarist of Three Mile Pilot, and they had. There was that period of time where everyone was talking about San Diego being the quote unquote new Seattle, right? And so the labels were courting everyone there and all the bands.
Oh yeah, Drive Like Jehu and Rocket from the Crips.
Exactly, yeah. Rocket from the Crip, Jehu. Handful of bands, Three Mile Pilot, kind of got snapped up by the majors, and so they had.
Remember that they would like pick a town and say, "This is the scene. It's Chapel Hill, it's Seattle, it's."
That was
so,
it's absurd.
So strange. Yeah.
Super absurd. But so they had finished recording the album for Geffen, and they wound up putting a bunch of different instruments. Overdubs and things on that, and they needed someone who was multi-instrumentalist and could play that stuff live. So that's how I ended up joining that band. But then, of course, as major labels do, they weren't happy. They're like, there's no hit here. So you guys need to write some new songs. You got this new dude, maybe, like, you know, involve him in stuff. So we worked on some songs. Label still wasn't happy, of course, and That's how my involvement with Three Mile Pilot happened, and that's now the beginning of Blackheart, because Paul and I were just starved for doing, like, you know, having autonomy, doing creative stuff that we wanted in the way that we wanted, and that then birthed Blackheart with Paul and I.
Right, right, and a little different than the hardcore thing, but
yeah.
Still music, and it was still you finding your way, right, your voice. Because you were kind of a utility man with the Three Mile Pilots, right?
Exactly. Yeah, toward the end where we were, you know, any ideas that were usable. And it's funny. I don't really see it. It's weird because, again, with the genre thing, people say, like, I'm identified as this, you know, sad piano dude. But it's like, well, I started with, like, thrash and hardcore.
So none
of this is – and then with this Red Step thing – people are like, oh, are you kind of exploring new territory? And it's like, well, kind of not necessarily.
Yeah, we're going to, next hour, we're going to get to the Red Step, because I know that's your current project.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you get defined. It's not even defined. You get trapped, right? Nailed to some kind of, like, this is it. This is, you know, everything else is just some kind of little, whatever, tangent, side mouse thing. And people... not understanding that the music is the means. It's not a costume. That's why I like Halloween. One day all year we admit we wear costumes.
Exactly.
So the Blackheart procession. Yeah, yeah. Definitely found your own voice. I mean, that band, you know, and it's probably, you know, part of the evolution, you know. You put in your time learning some craft, and then, you know, like writing a book, right? You learn some grammar. You learn, you know what I'm saying. And I think it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, we really, like, Paul and I were at this point where we we didn't want to be controlled. We just wanted to do what we wanted. And I think one of the first Blackheart rules was, like, we can't say no to one another. So, like, here's an idea. Okay, let's work on it together, make something out of it. Just presenting ideas and making them happen. And being, you know, like, being able to use all kinds of weird shit, like musical saw.
Right.
One of the first songs was written on a busted xylophone that, like, I saw this thing and it was missing a bunch of the, what do you call the thing?
Keys.
Keys, yeah. And so it was only capable of doing so much. And so I just had to use what was there. And then later in overdubs, I figured the part out on guitar and did it. But it was all this just fun coming from, like, real, you know, just weird stuff, but making it kind of, you know, musical.
And, I love that, you know, man. I love it. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 22, 2020 edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Tobias Nathaniel. Hold tight for hour three. December 22nd, 2020, third hour of Watt Pedro Show.
four and a half years old. So that came about when I had moved here. My wife is from Belgrade, so I came here to visit and sort of ended up staying. And then I met through friends and family some people who did music, and they had a better my brother-in-law was a drummer in a band called Kazuna Zawushi, and my now kum, who's the it's like godfather and best man combination thing, specific to the area.
Yeah.
And our friend Boris, they were all playing in Kazuna Zawushi, and they're like, oh, here's this dude who, you know, moved here and plays music. Let's get together and jam. And I'm not really a big jammer, but I had some songs left over from ideas that I had in San Diego. And so we got together, just started working on stuff. And we eventually added our cellist, Sarah Jane Satherton, who was here for a bit, living in Belgrade. And just kept going, kept practicing, kept getting together. And eventually we had enough songs for an album, and we did it.
That's fucking righteous. The Sava and the Danube come together at Belgrade.
The confluence is here, yes.
Yeah, yeah. White City. I should tell the people, we started the third hour off with Before the Storm, Red Step. Another Umbrella with On the Precipice with the late, great Richard Derrick. Sadly missed. Rosemary Crust and Mold Omen with 606 out of Baltimore. Sassafras from here in SoCal. I think they're no more. Here's their Placential. That's a title. Placential.
Placential potential.
Yeah. You know, I watched Pots and Pans in a hospice as a teenager, and there was a barrel of the placentas, you know, in the afterbirth on the fifth floor of the OB ward. You know. But when you get the new guy just starting work and you don't tell him what he's going to be looking at, you just open the lid, that was an experience. Trigger cut after that, Mute Driver. And finally, the Red Step with Temporary Loss. So tell me about the first Red Step gig. It was probably in Belgrade, right?
It was, for sure. We've actually, you know, due to the current pandemic situation, it, like, as it's done with everyone in different ways, and then particularly with the music industry live performance, the idea was to release this album, I think, like, late summer, so that we could tour in the fall. So before that, we had played here a handful of times in Belgrade, and we did one festival in Macedonia.
Yeah, because I think you said the project is 4.5 years old.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there might have been a couple gigs before this situation, right?
A handful, yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the first one. You know, I'm always into the first thing, right? Because you can only have the first thing once.
Yeah, so the first show, there's a guy here, Nikola Vrankovic, who's the kind of frontman for a band from the 90s here called Blockout. And now he does a kind of solo thing. It's his project, and he's got a band with him. But, we played with him. I think it was even at the Gun Club. That was maybe the first show. And that show, like, this is my first experience singing and being kind of in the front singing, playing guitar. And so that was a learning experience. There was someone in the audience recording the music, and then you could, you know, with the video, you could then buy it after if you wanted to you know, put it up on your site or whatever. And I remember, like, hearing a snippet and just being like, oh, fuck, I got some work to do.
like mortified, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was at that stage where you just can't stand
yeah,
the
yeah,
voice.
Yeah. Like when you hear your own voice on a phone or something, it's like, oh, fuck, is that me? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was an interesting show and actually helpful to hear that, to have a direction of, you know, what I ultimately, you know, wanted my voice to sound like, or what I'm capable of and what's natural for me.
Yeah, because, you're not from the Disney, you know, like K-pop, they got these dormitories, they raise these kids from, you've always been in charge of your own music thing.
So to me, it kind of organic. So for that cat to give you that feedback loop was kind of happening.
Definitely, yeah. And it was a great thing. And actually, how this Nikola Vrankovic guy, actually, he was at one of our practices, and I was looking for a singer for a while. And I asked him, you know, during break, like, do you know anyone who can, you know, either sing in English or something? I wanted it to be have a more international reach. So he's like, why don't you do it? And I was like, ding, light bulb, like, had never fucking thought of that. Like, I don't know, I'm, you know, just not my role or some stupid shit. And, like, so I finally, he's like, look, just go sing. Like, grab your guitar, go sing. I did, it was super horrible. And he's like, look, just give it 6 months, keep doing it, and you're going to be fine.
Oh,
and
man, that's bitching.
Awesome, awesome words of advice. Yeah. And, yeah, it sounds cheesy and cliche, but, like...
No, not at all. To me, it sounds like organic and, you know, like a skateboard, right? You're going to fall down, okay? What the fuck? You doing ollies on the first time you get on the motherfucker? You know, you got to learn and find your way. Tell me about this thing. David Jay is a bass man. Loving Rockets, right? His brother was with the Bauhaus guy, right? Yeah. And you got this. You gave me this tune that the Trees in Silence sang.
Yeah. So he, how we met David Jay is he had moved to North County, San Diego, and kind of started going to local shows, and so we met him that way at some shows, and I guess he saw Blackheart and asked us Paul and I if we would, you know, be interested in doing something together. And we said, well, sure. And that was the song that ended up happening. So we did that all recorded at Paul's place with some gear we bought from our previous recording budget and kind of built a little home studio there. And so Paul recorded that. I played piano. Joe Plummer, who's, I think, in Cold War Kids now, played with Modest Mouse and the Shins, played drums on it. Joyce Rooks, cello, a whole shitload of kids.
Yeah.
he wanted a quiet, like a chorus, and I can't even remember how that came to be. Like, they somehow organized all these little kids to come in and sing. It was super hilarious.
Well, let's listen.
Strange fruit on the trees in our cupboard today. Black chromium tape that clings in strands. Thin and coated vines blow in the wind, they say. Cause music is not allowed in Afghanistan. If they catch you with a cassette, they'll tear your headphones out, crush your machine so that it won't play, wrap the ripped-out tape around the nearest tree, and sell you a mat on which to pray. Stone a woman and the driver of a van sees there's no cease to it. The impresarios of terror have swallowed the keys to the jail. They'll put birds in the mail. Scar in the skyline where eagles choke. When the last of the cell phone signals died away, all that was left was blood and smoke.
thousand times that day. As red hot spears of steel pierced concrete walls, television images won't go away. Back in Okafo, the silence calls. Stuck on the back of a truck out on Highway 101. And wicked winds, two birds of prey, our economy to boost. We'll only have ourselves to blame if those birds come home.
Lost within a dream.
Super nice dude.
I know the drummer man.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Kevin, right? He got married a U.S. lady and involved with some kind of soundtracks and stuff. Kevin Haskins, I think.
I met him through Perkins.
And beautiful guy. Last music for this edition, people. The Trees in Silence Sing, David J. Song of the Sun from Fell Runner, Grand Champion with Cottonmouth, All Goal and Alcohol from the Xenochronic, AMM All Stars, and having me alongside them. You know, trading files, right? You never meet these people, and you're part of their band. It's kind of bitching. Internet's not all bad, people. Internet can have some good parts. The Ghost of Sabretooth Tiger with Sean Lennon. Animals. And finally, Daddy, Kansas, Za Usi, which I think is probably a Belgrade band, right?
Yes, yes. Kazna Za Usi. It means punishment for the ears. And that's the other. That's some of the other folks from the Red Set.
Okay.
Who I inadvertently stole from that band. Okay.
You borrowed them. And where do people find you on the internet, Toby?
Let's see. So for in terms of the music, it would be I think Paul's got a site, theblackheartprocession.com. He's fairly active there. There's all kinds of stuff to do there. For Red Step, Pravda Records, when it comes out sometime, I think, in February at this point. And we've all got, you know, Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah. You can put those flyers up on those telephone poles, but you have your own fanzine. You know, having your own website's like having your own fanzine, right? Pravda's out of Chicago?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
I was conceived in Chicago. Well, look, okay, you're on a holding pattern, but you got the stuff recorded. So you're probably going to write some more and record some more.
Yeah, I've got a few ideas in the head.
Okay.
I'm a strange writer. These days I don't like to actually pick an instrument up until I have a clear kind of idea in my head. Like, if a song sticks around in my head for long enough, I'm like, okay, it should come out.
Yeah. I'll make
so I've had a few.
Well, man, I can't wait. And when you do get some more stuff, come back on the show and let's play it and talk about it, okay, please?
That would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I love what you're doing, man. And safe season. Let that freak flag fly.
Yeah, it's
thank
been
you
great
so much, Toby. Okay, it's people, nice. It's been December 22, 2020. This is Wap Peter, so keep your powder dry.